Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and Adam Barrett's joining me today. Hey, Adam.
Hi, Fred. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. It's a bright, sunny day here, so I'm sitting in my studio now and got all the sound dampening in place and everything else. And I suspect you're in your closet with all the sound dampening effects around you.
Exactly. My office that has clothes hanging in it is what I like to call it. Yeah, exactly. I have all my sound dampening up, so now my window is blocked and everything. I usually have a nice view of the lake and some of the trees, but for the meantime, it'll be just gray foam.
There you go. Well, I appreciate it. It sounds great. But one of the things, you know, this morning I was up and I'm working on an article that's a basic introduction to fault tree analysis. And I had to pull out my books. I pulled out a couple of different references. I pulled up a NASA document and some MIL standards and, you know, just double checking how have people typically introduced this, and what are the definitions of all the symbols? It was kind of the gist of the article. And I certainly have read about fault trees. I've seen fault trees. I don't know that I've ever used that tool. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that. It's just it's not a tool. And then it dawned on me as we're getting ready for this recording is there's a handful of tools I've just never found a need to have. I know about them. I know they exist. I like Petri nets. Have you ever had to use a Petri net modeling for a system?
No, I haven't.
Well, I won't embarrass you and ask you if you know what it is and describe it.
Well, I know what I assume you're not basing. You're saying that's not a P diagram.
No,
the resulting is not the P diagram.
No, it's like a Markov analysis model or multiple states. You know, it can be, it could be waiting repair. It could be in a degraded state. It's sort of like an amped up fault or reliability block diagram.
Got it. You know, I think what's interesting about the two tools you just mentioned is how specialized they are. So I agree with you. Fault tree analysis, it very rarely, and I'm trying to think of the cases where I have used it as well. And I know it, I remember once, but it was a long time ago. And do you know what I think is interesting is they're specialized. So a fault tree analysis is, you know, when you have an issue and you want to understand root cause. Well, there's lots of root cause methods, right? You can do methodologies, 5Y and all kinds, and they work very well and are used often. But I think really what would direct you to take the time to do a fault tree analysis, which is more expanded, is you're looking for interactions, and that's why you have all those funny symbols, as you said, right? Those are logic diagram symbols of and or, and you need, you know, different combinations to end up with the fault. So that's a very specific, very detailed thing where you're looking for interactions or sequence of events that cause a failure, which is not going to come into play with a lot of failure modes. A lot of failure modes, you know, when you use a, you know, an FMEA and people are trying to drive to root cause or a simple 5Y, you know, usually you can have this kind of more like a linear story, you know, that can, you can tell 5Ys is pretty much a story. If you read it backwards, you should, you know, it should make sense, you know, to where you have the end effect and you drive to root cause.
Well, this might end up being, what do we understand fault tree to be? It's not just a root cause analysis. It can be used to guide a root cause analysis, to give you a map of what the potential problems are. But I agree with you. I disagree with you that it's a specialized tool. Even simple series system reliability block diagrams can be converted to a fault tree analysis by just starting with, say, a laptop computer doesn't power on, right, is the top starting event, is the thing you want to analyze. And it can be used in a design state, early design stage to say, well, we want to make sure we avoid or minimize the chance that it won't power on. Well, then it's the question of, well, what could cause it not to power on? Well, it could be a bad battery, bad power supply, a bad circuit, the faulty switch, and becomes similar to a failure modes and effects analysis, FMEA, in that you're looking at potential failure modes. What the fault tree does, though, is it graphically lays it out. And yeah, we can use the Boolean algebra to calculate the probability of that event. So it's, I look at it as FMEA is looking at what are the failure modes, and let's figure out what are the multiple causes for that and the frequency of those and so on, which I look at as a horizontal map of what we're trying to do. Just, and then fault tree is a top down. So it's a different view of the same system, but we're looking at it with a different set of lenses. And so I tend to use FMEA more often, and I get more requests for that, which is probably why I'm not using fault tree very often, because we're not typically interested in what's a particular failure mechanism or failure mode, I should say, and what are all the paths to it. We're more interested in the system and all the ways that, what do we need to do to improve it? They both tools can get you there. They're just different approaches.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that is it. That's, what are you starting with? You know, that they call one tops down, the other bottom up. And I don't say bottoms up anymore. Somebody once, they were like, bottoms up sounds like a lot more fun. I'm like, that's not what I meant. I said bottom up. I always take caution now to not use the X.
All right. So how about another tool? And I've seen this in the CRE body of knowledge, and I've seen it in a number of different reliability textbooks, is a quality functional deployment.
I definitely never used that.
Yeah, me either. I was introduced to it some 20 years ago as part of a quality training package we did, and we actually tried to use it. I was a manufacturing engineer, and we're trying to connect our machine settings to customer requirements. And so QFD was a tool that we were learning about, so we just used that as an example. But that's the only time I've ever used it. Mm-hmm. I think the concept's valid, and I think that's true of many of these different tools that we have in and around us, is that there's the basic concept of connecting what you're doing to what's important, to, say, a customer requirement, or to adding value to the organization or to the customer's experience. And a tool like QFD is a way to map those specific details of the assembly process or of the design specifications directly to a customer's set of requirements, real or imagined, as some would say. But fault tree analysis don't go to very often. Petri nets, I believe that, like a Markov analysis, is really for high availability systems. You know, there, I think the notion of a specialized tool is appropriate. QFD, it has allegedly has applications in every product, in every system. I just don't see it used, though. Mm-hmm. What else? What other tools have you, heard about, but if just looking for a perfect application?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we're saying tools, and I am picturing a literal toolbox, and if you have a toolbox at home, there's usually a lot of tools in it. There's five that you use often, an adjustable wrench, two mm-hmm. types of screwdrivers, and
the hammer all the time.
Exactly. But there's also another probably like 45 tools in there that are, a lot of cases they don't get to frequently use for the reasons we said, very special application. So, yeah, if you flipped through something like the CRE prep book, it would be the same. But I would say, instead of listing the ones I don't use, the ones that I find that we most frequently use are, design FMEAs and process FMEAs, allocation modeling, which allows you to derive reliability goals for subsystems, which is very helpful, to do mm-hmm. before, testing. Root cause analysis methods, like I'll use the 5Y mm-hmm. within a Toshiro. That's kind of those few where you are able to identify what the failure modes are. What are the likely root causes and have ones of highest risk? So now you've redirected attention to where you want to put your testing program. Mm-hmm. And then next, you know, with things like the allocation model, you're like, okay, if I'm going to do a testing program on this subsystem, what am I trying to demonstrate? What's my goal? Well, that's where the allocation model helps you, because marketing or the business units defined a high level goal, but you need to translate that to the system you're testing. And, you know, so, you know, there's five or six tools that fall into that very common process of, you know, of measuring and systematically improving a product. And I guess all the other ones are out there for specialty need situations. And I kind of have a feeling a lot of them are not tools you would use in a regular design program, but they're ones to help solve a very specific issue that's been discovered in a released product. You know, I think that that's something like you'd use the FTA instead of the FMEA, because the FMEA, you start with that because you want to know about all the failure modes that could happen and rank them. Mm-hmm. The FTA, you went to that instead because you have one very specific one that you want to understand all the ways this can happen. You know, what are all the ways that the car ignition can lock, you know, and mm-hmm. lock the steering wheel? And, you know, and that's because it's happened in the field and it's a very big issue. Right. So I think that's probably why there's such a difference of frequency between those two.
That's a good point. It might be a nice insertion is when you run out the FMEA and you end up with your top issues, is then conduct an FTA to organize around the top failure modes that you're most interested in. The one that ranked the highest overall is then do a just parse it a different way, basically. And it provides a different way of looking at it. So that might be, I'm just looking at of all of the tools that are in and around the reliability sphere. Some I just don't use because, like reaching into my toolbox, my hammer's on top. So I use it for all kinds of things I probably shouldn't use it for. But I reach for a handful of, I use Weibull analysis anytime I see a data set, right? I fit a Weibull to it just because I'm familiar with it. I know,
right.
I can interpret it. It's a starting point for me. It's not the only data analysis tool I use. It's a starting point. Yet I fully suspect there's a handful of tools out there that I'm probably blind to because I'm just in the habit of not using them.
Yep.
That's kind of my point of why I brought up what I recognized this morning in writing this article about Faultree is like, yeah, this really is a useful tool.
Yep.
And I probably have missed opportunities to use it because I'm so accustomed to what's at the top of my toolbox.
I think you just described why so many people who are handy enjoy just strolling through the tool aisles in hardware stores. I can't tell you how many times I've strolled through and I'm like, what is that? I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know that existed. That's great. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I used to take off oil filters on cars by taking a screwdriver and a hammer and driving it through the oil filter and using the handle then on the screwdriver to unturn the oil filter. And then someday somebody pointed out, they're like, you know, they make oil filter wrenches. I'm like, oh, wait, what?
You
know?
You realize this is recorded.
It was only on my own cars.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it worked. It just was, I mean,
there's a mess.
Yeah, well, it's a mess. Right. But I already had the oil pan there. If you take off an oil filter, it always leaks any, you know, it always makes a mess anyway. I was just like, whatever, I'm already in, you know, might as well. I just want to get this done quick and not, you know, because the other alternative at that point was to try and grab it with something and you slip, you're oily, you hit your knuckles.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'm just putting a screwdriver right through this thing. And so I have a handle. But anyway, So you know, maybe what you're describing is an exercise we should do for the same reason we stroll around the tool aisle and we kind of like, oh, wow, that's, I didn't know they made that, you know? So I think, yeah, that might be an interesting conclusion from this is, you know, we should take the time. And I guess sometimes that's what conferences are about, right? Is mm-hmm. getting to see people demonstrate use of these things and they tell you there's an oil filter wrench.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we see a lot of the academic folks are exploring the boundaries of how tools can be used, but there's also the practitioners that talk about, you know, a way to do an accelerated test for a particular circumstance. That the first time I learned about degradation testing, for example, was, oh, I have an application for that. So I think it's part of it's being primed. And I think, especially for the experienced reliability engineers, is, like you said, stroll down that aisle again and refresh yourself on where and how these tools can be used.
Yeah.
Well, that might be a good spot to ask our listeners, you know, grab a chair and join us here and let us know what are the tools that you just don't use. And it, maybe it's out of habit or maybe it's because you haven't found the right application, but what are the ones out there that, I mean, there's some that we should just, if nobody's using them, it's only a textbook exercise, then let's drop it from the body of knowledge, right? It's not valuable. Otherwise we would use it. So if you use QFD and FaultTree as your go-to tools, we'd love to hear why that is, how, what's the value of doing that first versus other things. And likewise, though, is what are the tools that are deeper in the toolbox in your case and that you just don't get to? And I'm not as interested in the ones that are super specialized. There's like probabilistic risk analysis is for like modeling nuclear power plants or super complex systems with devastating consequences if they fail. And we use very specialized modeling tools for that. I don't foresee ever having an application for that. But FaultTree struck me as something that I probably should use. And that's what I'm interested in learning about is, you know, what tools do you think we should use more often and what's preventing you from doing so? I think that would be an interesting conversation. So with that, Adam, why don't we just wrap it up here and we could come back and maybe talk about the rest of that toolbox. What other ways are you using a screwdriver and a hammer these days?
I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Fair enough, Adam. So let's make this a short one and put out that request. Find us on reliability.fm. Adam and I and the other hosts of the Speaking of Reliability series would love to hear from you. If you've got an idea or a comment or a contribution or a topic you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. So with that, Adam, let's wrap this one up.
Sounds good, Fred. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.